shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Race is the issue. The most controversial word today is race. However, science and medicine recognize that race can determine a person's likelihood for contracting certain diseases. It's only in the realm of social issues that race has become a feared topic. Why is this true? If race can determine an individual's physical propensities, then why would it not also determine an individual's social propensities? The answer is obvious. It does. Archaeology proves this beyond doubt, and the study of history has no foundation except that built upon race. Schools are inundated with all kinds of courses on Black history, Hispanic history, Indian history, Chinese history, and the list goes on, except that there is not one for white history. In government, there's funding for a wide range of programs for Blacks, Hispanics, Indians, Asians, and a whole host of non-white groups. All of society is being molded in this misshapen morass. No one gives any thought as to why the NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, is okay. But if there was a group called the NAAWP, National Association for the Advancement of White People, then it would be racist. Why are the terms nigger, wetback, chink, towelhead so vehemently denounced as racist, and WASP, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, is not? Race is the issue as much in society as it is in history and science. The popular slogan is that you can't discriminate against someone because of their race, and yet the federal government has passed a multitude of unconstitutional laws termed as affirmative action, which are based solely on race. What is going on in our nation? A force which controls the media, money, and government has declared war on the white race. Every element in society has been rallied against the very people who founded and built this nation. Why Christian people came to this wilderness and brought forth the greatest nation the world has ever seen. Christianity was its foundation stone. America is a Christian nation and was even declared as such by the United States Supreme Court. The Bible is the book upon which the hand is laid when taking the oath of office in government or swearing under oath to tell the truth in a court of law. This sacred book has been carried by the white race from the millennium of time. No other race has done this and has brought forth the social, economic, and technological advancements which have flowed out to the rest of the world. This race has truly been blessed by God and has been a blessing to all others. Yet today, we have become the most hated of all races, even in the land which we founded and built. No one would dare to say, "I'm a white American. while others freely say, I'm a black American or I'm a Hispanic American. These alien forces that want to destroy the white Christian race have been successful in silencing our people by painting them with their tar baby brush of racism. Mention one word about affirmative action and you are a racist. Mention one word about the NAACP and you are a racist. Mention one word about having a course in school about white history and you are a racist. Mention one word about welfare and you're a racist. Mention one word about who commits nearly all violent crime in America and you're a racist. Mention one word about who makes up 90% of the prison population and you're a racist. Mention one word about the floods of illegal immigrants into America and you are a racist. Mention one word about those who seek to destroy our heritage and you're a racist. Can any issue which is undermining the values of our nation be mentioned without it being shouted down as racist? It cannot be. However, the truth remains, race is the issue and must be addressed as such. Just as history, science, and medicine look at it for answers, so must society. All the ills of our national body can only be righted when the white Christian race stops cowering in fear, identifies our enemy, learns who we are, knows who our God is, understands what He's called us to do, and stands up and strongly opposes the forces that seek to enslave and destroy us. Do you know what made America the greatest nation to ever arise in all of recorded time? The truth has been removed from history books, education, and all public discourse. In trying to discover the secret of America's great advancements, it is necessary to understand the racial fabric of the individuals who turned this unsettled wilderness into the most advanced nation on earth. 3 centuries ago, a tiny handful of white men and women faced life on a strange continent in order to escape the tyranny and economic slavery which covered the entire inhabited earth. The spirit freedom so moved these people that they were willing to face the rigors and uncertainty of life in a wilderness than remain in the security of bondage. In the new land, they had no homes but what they could build with their own hands before winter. They had but scanty food, and they did not know what crops would thrive in this new climate. They faced the daily hazard of an inhospitable, cruel wilderness peopled by savages. They were not supplied by any government subsidies. They did not receive any wealth from the taxpayers of another nation. Yet out of that same wilderness, they built the greatest nation that the world has ever seen. How did they do it? What were the tools they used? The answer to this will reveal the secret of the American story. A people are no greater than the spirit that drives them forward. The more difficult the obstacle, the stronger the will must be in order to overcome it. Therefore, their achievements are the end product of the inner strength which possesses them. And that which possessed our white forefathers was the spirit of their God through His Holy Son, Jesus Christ. The whole moral character of these white settlers is stated in one word, Christianity. It was the freedom to worship Jesus Christ that was the burning desire which brought these people from a decadent, slavish civilization to a wilderness so that they might establish a more perfect civilization for themselves and their posterity. A civilization whose whole culture would be founded and built upon the law of God and not the lust of men. So earnest were they in the pursuit of their divine dream that they left their homes, their farms, their shops, their friends, and relatives in the land of their ancestors and crossed a broad and dangerous ocean to build in the wilderness a new nation dedicated to Christianity. In the Mayflower Compact, they wrote the purpose of coming to this new wilderness land in these words, having undertaken this voyage for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. No, these white sons and daughters of God's holy seed did not come to America so that legions of non-white two-legged creatures could worship everything from Allah to Zionism. This flesh and blood offspring of God Almighty was so filled with the power of Jesus Christ that they sought to honor Him in all their undertakings. America became known to all as a Christian nation. And in the case of Trinity Church versus the United States in 1892, even the United States Supreme Court declared that America was a Christian nation. This was before the Christ-hating Jews and their non-white minority coalitions took over control of our government and corrupted our society, culture, and civilization. The colonies were proud to stand for Jesus Christ and demanded obedience to the Christian religion and stated as much in their original constitutions. Just to mention a few, Delaware, by its constitution of 1776, required every office holder to make the following declaration: I do profess faith in God the Father, in Jesus Christ, His only Son, and in the Holy Ghost, one God, blessed forevermore. And I do acknowledge the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration. Massachusetts also required a declaration that I believe the Christian religion and have a firm persuasion of its truth. Maryland, by its constitution of 1776, every person appointed to any office had to take an oath of allegiance to the state and also to subscribe a declaration of belief in the Christian religion. New Hampshire required that all senators and representatives should be of the Protestant religion. New Jersey declared that all persons for professing a belief in the faith of any Protestant sect shall be capable of being elected into any office of profit or trust. Vermont's constitution required every member of the House of Representatives to take this oath: I do believe in one God, the creator and governor of the universe, the rewarder of the good and punisher of the wicked, and I do acknowledge the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration, and own and profess the Protestant religion. North Carolina, by the Constitution of 1776 provided that no person who shall deny the being of God or the truth of the Protestant religion or the divine authority either of the Old or New Testament shall be capable of holding any office or place of trust or profit in the civil department within the state. South Carolina, by its Constitution of 1776, provided that no person should be eligible to the Senate or House of Representatives unless he be of the Protestant religion. Virginia denied public office to everyone that denied the Christian religion to be true or the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be of divine authority. Even the first schools were founded to give Christian education to their children so that all who might come to positions of leadership would be firmly grounded in Christianity. For example, King's College, which is now Columbia, advertised, "The chief thing that is aimed at in this college is to teach and engage the children to know God in Jesus Christ and to live and serve Him in all sobriety, godliness, and righteousness of life with a perfect heart and a willing mind." Amherst, Dartmouth, and Yale were also established for training in the Christian faith. For the first century, 40% of Yale's graduates became ministers of the gospel. Mr. Harvard, in founding the Harvard University, said, "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to conclude well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, and therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of sound knowledge and learning." None of the foregoing facts can be found in any textbook in any school in America today. Why? Because this is what white people did and why they did it. The very thought of a white Christian nation is so repugnant to the Antichrist Jews that have brought about the eviction of our God, Jesus Christ, and achievements of the white race from all institutions of learning. There can be a Black History Month, but no White History Month. Race is the issue, and all the enemies of our God, His Son, and our race know it. Only the white people are blinded to this fact. Pray that the Spirit of our God and the power of His Son awaken the white holy seed from its silent and stupefying slumber to once again walk in His marvelous light. We too must conquer today's wilderness for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Our enemies will not relinquish their death grip upon our nation without a fight. But this is the same battle that's been going on since the beginning of our race on earth, which is told in our very own book, the Bible. This is the battle between good and evil, between God's law and man's lust, between light and darkness, and between the racial seed of the woman and the racial seed of the serpent. This is so vital that it is covered from Genesis to Revelation and by all scriptures in between. God is the supreme racist. He made all races exactly the way they are, or else they would not exist as they do. This statement's in direct contradiction to the Jew Charles Darwin. Just like our form of government is in direct contradiction to the Jew Karl Marx. If the Bible is not your authority, then you are not of the white race, or have so embraced the God of this world that your mind is blinded. The eternal truth is that the Bible is a book about race from its first book, Genesis, to its last book, Revelation. In Genesis 3:15, God, addressing the serpent, says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." According to this verse, the serpent was to have a seed, and the woman was to have a seed. The scripture is talking about literal flesh and blood children, a child of the serpent and a child of the woman. From the fourth chapter of Genesis, we know Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. "For God," she said, "hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." The seed of the woman was originally Abel, and after his death, she had another son, Seth. The seed of the serpent was Cain, and he was true to his father's nature and killed his brother Abel. This is also referred to in 1 John 3:12, where it speaks about Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. The serpent is also called the devil and Satan in the Bible, Revelation 12:9 and 20, verse 2. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord Yahweh God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." In this verse, the word man is translated from the Hebrew word Adam, and is translated Adam in verse 19, which is really the transliteration of the Hebrew word Adam. This Hebrew word Adam means to show blood in the face, or to be of a ruddy complexion, a word obviously not applicable to the dark races, which we know from scientific evidence to be much older than those with a ruddy complexion showing blood in the face, the white race. This man's complexion was so unique that not only did it set him apart from all others, but also he was named for it, Adam. And his descendants are still being called whitey today. Adam was not the first human being, but he was the first son of God. Adam, the white son of God, had a son, Seth, who was the seed of the woman Eve. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness and after his own image, and called his name Seth. The Bible is not a book about all races, but is only about one particular race, as stated in Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. There are numerous genealogies given in the Bible which trace the descendants of Adam through Seth, all the way down to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. It was into this Israel race that Jesus Christ was born. And it was this same Israel race that he came to save. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. All of God's covenants were to only one race of people, from Adam down to Israel. Paul speaks about this when referring to his kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen. This racial seed of the woman, Adamic white Israel, would be saved and have all their sins forgiven. Salvation is a racial issue. Nothing like this is taught in any church. Imagine if the Word of God was proclaimed from the pulpits, there would not be a race problem. There would be no flood of aliens into our land. There would not be genocidal race mixing mongrelization. There would not be violence. There would not be sexual perversion. There would not be poverty. There would not be any of another race in any position over you. And there certainly would not be a President Obama, which has turned America into an abomination. But there would be a land of righteousness and a bountiful blessings of God. Don't forget that there is another seed mentioned in Genesis 3:15. The serpent had a seed, which is just as literal a flesh and blood race as that of the woman. Cain also had descendants, as recorded in Genesis 4:16-24. And these people would become known as the Canaanites. It was into this satanic seed line into which Esau, Jacob's brother, married. This was a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah, Genesis 26:35. When Israel returned from their bondage in Egypt, God commanded his chosen people, quote, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord Yahweh thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them. Namely, the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Persians, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord Yahweh thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations which they have done unto their gods, so should you sin against the Lord Yahweh your God. By disobeying God, the serpent seed line of Esau multiplied and became known as the Edomites. In the day of Jesus Christ, these Edomite Canaanite people were known as the Edomians, and they had filled the land of Israel. They had taken over all its social, religious, and political institutions, just like in America today. The capital city of Jerusalem contained few Adamic white Israelites, but was overrun by this evil race known as the Jews. Even King Herod was of this race of devils, and had no qualms in ordering all the babies from 2 years old and down to be murdered. Washington, D.C. is made up of the same Jew serpent seed and filled with non-whites as their capital was then. Jesus told the Jews, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. A few verses before this, these Jews said, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Out of their own mouths they admit that they are not Israelites, because Israel had been in bondage down in Egypt. But the Edomites, who were descended from Abraham through Esau's Canaanite wives, had never been in bondage in Egypt. Just like today, the Jews are claiming to be God's chosen people, Israel, his flesh and blood seed of the woman race in the earth. Jesus called them out on such a blatant lie and said, "He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not gods." His indictment of the Jews was so scathing in Matthew 23, verses 13 through 36, that the Jews plotted how they were going to kill him. And this is recorded in Matthew 26, 3 through 4. Read these passages and notice, Jesus told the Jews, "You are like unto whited sepulchers, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchers of the righteous, and say, 'If we had been in the days of our father, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.' Wherefore you be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents. You generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." The Jews appeared beautiful like tombs, but were full of uncleanliness. The Jews appeared righteous, but were full of hypocrisy and iniquity. The Jews were the racial children of those that killed the prophets, and would be true to their ancestry by continuing their murderous ways. The Jews are guilty of all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, and that all these things spoken by Jesus will come upon this generation, this race of murderers and liars. It is this same serpent seed race of people that gathered before Pilate, who wanted to release Jesus. And this Jew race cried, "His blood be on us and on our children." What more could be known about the Jews, the serpent seed racial children of the devil, than is not already known? This offspring of Satan are evil, murderous, lying, hypocrites, pretending to be righteous while all the time trying to destroy the Adamic white Israel racial seed of the woman? Is it not amazing that these great pretenders have so polluted the pulpits with their hellish lies that the white Adamic Israel race believes that they themselves are the children of the devil, and that the Jews are the chosen people of God, His Israel race? Remember what Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 5 about these end times. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Paul refers to this great deception in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 through 15. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." The Jews, being the seed of the serpent, hate our God and all his racial children from Adam to Jesus and all the way down to us today. Jews have gained complete control over every element of society. The Jew media continually propagandize the people with all kinds of perversions. The Jews' publishing houses have no opposition and determine what is in the school textbooks as well as everything sold on the newsstands and in the bookstores. The Jews' movie industry has no rival and determines everything seen in the theaters as well as all TVs, from the nightly news broadcast to Sesame Street. The Jew banking empire has total world dominance, and through the traffic of money, credit, and interest, has its death grip upon individuals, industry, and government. By wielding their power of money, they cause stock markets to rise and fall. They determine which industries prosper and fail. They buy elections, and they control politicians, and they enslave all individuals through a life of debt. Money has become God in our country, and all worship at its altar. Just as Paul wrote to Timothy, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Many corrupted clergy pontificate that someday a man will become the world dictator, and he will become the Antichrist spoken of in Revelation. This is another of the many satanic lies taught by the churches. The term Antichrist is never used in the book of Revelation. It is only used 3 times in the Bible, and only by the Apostle John in his first epistle, which says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." According to the Bible, who is the Antichrist? Is it one individual that will become the world dictator? As answered by John, who walked with Jesus, said, "Even now are there many Antichrists, and he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Jews deny Jesus as the Son of God because the devil is their father. Their satanic spirit, the spirit of Antichrist, has spread throughout America and engulfed the whole world. The Jews lied about and murdered Jesus. The Jews hate him as much today as when they cried, "Let his blood be on us and our children." What else could be expected of this seed of the serpent? What is going on today is not an evil conspiracy, but a conspiracy of evil. The racial children of Satan are plotting the destruction and death of the racial children of God. Just like they did to our brother Jesus, they will do to us. It is a racial thing. Satan and his serpent seed line, the Jews, bent on the annihilation of the woman's seed line, the Adamic white Western Israel of Yahweh God. Race is the issue and will always be the issue. The Jews want to hide this fact in the cloak of darkness. Jews, through their power, try to intimidate white people and keep them from ever addressing this issue. Jew lies are constantly espoused by the media, churches, schools, and politicians. The thing known as Christianity is nothing more than the beast referred to in Revelation, the 13th chapter, which looks like a lamb and speaks like a dragon. Through its 2 horns of Protestantism and Catholicism, the doctrine of the dragon, Satan, devil, serpent, seed is spewed forth. This is no shower of blessing, but a deluge of Jew corruption. Passively as dumb lambs being led to the slaughter, the white race continues its downward descent into hell. Without white opposition, the Christ-hating Jews know that the game will end in their victory. They will be the absolute crushing masters. The world will be the serpent seed Jews, and no power on earth will be able to stand against this race of devils. There's no evil that you can imagine that will not be commonplace. This decadent dark age will be an eternal night, except were it not for the plan of God. The last days under such Antichrist power will be so tumultuous that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened the days. Jesus said that this will catch the Jews by surprise. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. The serpent's seed head shall be bruised, and the seed of the woman's heel will be bruised, just as God said in Genesis 3:15. As the Jews attempt to topple us with such a forceful attack at our foundation, they will deliver to themselves their own crushing blow. God's Adamic white Israel does not have an Achilles heel. We have not been dipped into some magical liquid, but are the bleeding offspring of Yahweh in the earth. He is our racial father. We are his racial children. As we were with him in the heavens, he is with us in the earth. It was in the heavens when our names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. We, as the racial children of God, pre-existed this world, and this is all according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. All this is God's hidden wisdom and is a mystery to the world, as Paul says. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Through this earthly journey, our Father keeps us in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. We did not come into existence by being born on earth in a flesh body any more than did Jesus. Read what he says in John, the 17th chapter. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Thine they were. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. We are not of the world, but we were with our Father Yahweh before the world was. As the racial, bleeding offspring of our Father, we came into earth as the seed of the woman to stand tall and upright over the seed of the serpent. Our destiny as the Adamic, white Israel, racial children of God, seed of the woman, is to triumph over the satanic Jew seed of the serpent. The enmity which God put between these two seed lines created the conflict which is going on today and will continue until the kingdom of God is established upon this earth. But the Jew serpent seed will elicit all its powers to prevent this from happening. They will wage war in the earth for total world domination. Adam was to have dominion over the earth, but chose death instead of life. His racial descendant, Jesus Christ, won the victory over the power of Satan and his Jew children, which God signified by the resurrection of his Spirit-filled Son. Jesus is the finished work begun in Adam. He overcame the powers of darkness, sin, and death. Being the descendants of Adam, the white race is the recipient of the penalty of his sin, which is death. But through this same family, Jesus Christ, who brought the power of the living Spirit into the white race. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. It is only the sons of Adam that die through his transgression. And it is only to this same race that Jesus, as the last Adam, brought the gift of life. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All this is amplified in Jesus' prayer in John the 17th chapter, verses 25 through 26. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The race of God, being endowed with the Spirit power of his love and his Son in it, is to stand against the race of Satan. Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This hope of glory is our divine mission on earth, which was given to us when we were with the Father in the heavens, as outlined by Paul in 2 Timothy 1:9. And speaking of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This is the reason that Jesus was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. The word justification means to be made equal. But made equal to what? Equal to Jesus in every way. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. While still in the heavens, we were predestined to grow from immature children into mature adults, conformed to the image of Christ as his brothers. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. The book Hebrews is written to a race, and thus its name, Hebrews, were the descendants of Adam and the ancestors of Israel, which were the progenitors of white Western man. Therefore, this book is written to the white race from a white brother. Paul was an Israelite by race and addresses his racial brothers in many of his letters. The following are a few examples of this. Now, we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be you children, but in understanding be men. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Race is the issue, and the seed of the woman has been predestinated to triumph over the seed of the serpent. All the forces of the satanic Jew will fall to us and our brother Jesus Christ. White people, look up, for Yahweh, your racial father, has foreordained your victory, which is proclaimed from Genesis to Revelation. Claim it and experience the living power of his Spirit. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Jesus said to continue in his word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you were fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.